This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Oh, I love it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And again, to do that is a choice that we've got to get up every morning and choose. Will I rejoice today? And we have to say, yes, we will. We're talking about responding to the call. And God has put a call on all of us to respond to Him, to respond to His Son. And I was listening the other day to a song, and it said, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And I just love listening to that song. And I thought, okay, yeah, snappy little tune. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And I thought, I'm going to be there. I want to be there. But it's more than making a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is it not? All right, thank you. That means we know that it's more than just that. It's more than having our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, although that is the thing that we want. But He calls us to so much more. And He calls us to say, hey, I've got some things I want you to do. It matters to be on that roll call when He calls your name. But He says, I want you to do more. When He calls, we need to respond. Adam, I need to respond. I am here. Think in the Bible. The Old Testament gives us several lessons, several in Genesis, Exodus, and on. Abraham, when He calls on Abraham, and He says, I am here. Actually, doesn't He? He says, here I am. Then the angel of God spoke to Jacob in a dream in Genesis 31. He said, Jacob. And He said, here I am. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. The angel came down and God spoke to him and said, Moses. And he responded and said, here I am. And then Samuel and Isaiah and on and on. And they responded, here I am. I'm present. Now, before we trick ourselves and I think, okay, Moses said, here I am. Use me, Lord. No, he said, here I am. And then responded with, but who am I to do all this, Lord? I don't pick me. Oh, my goodness, I can't do this. And I think that's half the fear when He calls on us. We say, here I am, use me for whatever you need me to do, Lord. No, no, no. We're afraid of what He's going to tell us to do. But He calls us to be more than just on the roll. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But after He calls roll, I want to go to my home in heaven and say, welcome to my mansion. Now, I've said many times, Eric and I have had conversations, I'd rather be in a shack made of gold than a mansion in hell. But I want to say, here's my home. This is a representation of my work on earth and what I've done. And people just think, man, I'm going to heaven. Woohoo! Man, that's great news, man. Hey, what are you doing today with Jesus in your life? What are you doing with it? Well, what do you mean? I accepted Christ as my Savior. That's great. Now, what are you doing with that? He calls us to do so many more things. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew. We'll dabble around in there. I'm going to go through some things in Matthew chapter 5. But our scripture, main scripture, is a couple chapters later. But when we've accepted Jesus, and He says, we're called to what? We're called to be more. We're called to do more, give more, witness more, learn more, grow more, pray more. We're called to love more. We are called to represent Him more. Matthew chapter 5 opens up with the Beatitudes, and it's Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And throughout the Bible, throughout Jesus' ministry, He teaches, these are the things I want you to do. To be more, do more, give, witness, learn, grow, pray. When you pray, don't pray as the others pray, this way. And so as we look through chapter 5, He talked about us being salt and light. And we talked a few weeks ago about being salt and light to others. Man, when we take the knowledge of Christ to others, man, can we flavor that just a little bit? Let's not lie. I'm not talking about that kind of flavor. Not Tabasco sauce. I'm talking about salt. Just adding a little seasoning. Like maybe we're happy about Jesus Christ being in our life and what he's doing with us. If you look in Luke, you don't have to look now, but in Luke, he talks about that salt as well. And these areas of our life that he's wanting us to know are taught, again, throughout Jesus' ministry, and then his disciples, as they go out and tell others, there's a calling to all these different areas. This goes on to our, when we talk about being salt and light, and it said, we are darkness. Yeah, I meant to say it. We are darkness until we have his light. And then, as I said earlier, as we were praying, then we become a reflection of his light in our lives. And the closer we are to him, the more we reflect his light. Someone points a flashlight in your face, the closer they get, the brighter that gets. And that's the same with Jesus. When we spend more time with him, getting to know him and understand him and what he wants of us, then we can help others as they struggle. That goes to our witnessing and representing Jesus more. Are we a good light for him, or are we that little birthday candle getting ready to blow out the minute someone says, where have you been? Well, we just blew it out. The salt, the flavor. Yeah, I'm a Christian. What about it? Yeah. Got to be careful of that stuff. What's in our heart comes out during those rough times. In Luke 14, as I was saying, it talks about salt. And it says, tasteless salt is worthless. Church, if we are tasteless salt, we are worthless. We are the lukewarm church if we're tasteless salt. And we know what he says about that. I'd rather vomit that out. I don't want any part of the lukewarm. I don't want any part of the tasteless salt. We have to increase our flavor and our light to other people. Now, as it goes on through chapter 5, that's in chapter 5, verse 13 of Matthew. And it goes on, and my Bible has different headings. And again, I'm just kind of bouncing through this to get to my landing point. And in chapter 5, verse 27, it says, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Great, I haven't cheated on my mate. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it as well. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members again perishes than your whole body be cast into hell. When we look at things and lust after things, and here we're talking about women, but when we have a lust after things and possessions as well, that's no good. That can consume our lives. I need that so bad, I'm willing to steal for it. I want that so bad, I am willing to cheat for that. Adultery in the heart. It happens in the heart and in the mind. It doesn't just happen with actions and words, but it happens with our thoughts. And before we know it, it gets away from us. And then all of a sudden, our entire body is cast into hell because we couldn't control those thoughts and those ideas and those emotions. That again goes into who and what we are. It goes into being more through our character and our integrity. Who we are and what we do when nobody's around, when nobody's looking. My topic in verse 38 says, going the second mile, the topic in my Bible says, going the second mile, and after that, love your enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 and verse 43. And it talks about going the second mile and loving your enemies. This goes into doing more, giving more, loving more. If they need this, give them this too. do more. Give more. Well, I just need someone to come in for about 15 minutes a week and help me. Give them 30. If you can give me an hour to help me do this, I'll give you 2 hours. Oh yeah, I got better things to do with 2 hours. Sleep, watch TV. You know me, I'm going to get on YouTube and watch some YouTube videos. Give them 2 hours if they need one. The giving, I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking about of your time, of your talent, of your skills, your abilities. Representing Jesus Christ is not an easy task, is it, church? It takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes us doing things that our flesh does not want to do and is not necessarily trained to do. Loving your enemies. Ooh. Okay, well, being a representative of Christ, we're called to love our enemies. Man, I can't love my enemy because I can't even love my family, some people say. What do you mean? I can't love my family because I don't even love myself, some people say. Church, we've got to get into this word. And we've got to know who we are in Christ. There are so many lost and lonely people feeling, I am insignificant. I don't matter to anybody. Well, you're looking in the wrong places. See, there's a Father in heaven that loves you. When you think nobody else loves you, He loves you. Not only that, but He created you. Not only did He create you, but every single one of you, He created what? In His own image. He knew exactly what you were going to be like. He molded you. He formed you. My 89-year-old, 88-year-old mother, 89 next month, He's not done molding her. Not yet. Being a representative of Christ is tough. It's tough because of who we are. It's tough because of where we've come from at times. You know, you make fun of me sometimes. You know, Adam had the Opie Taylor life. Man, yes, I did. And when I went back to Iowa, to our little small town, I looked at Cindy and said, you kind of get how that was. It was small town. You grew up the son of a preacher. You didn't get into trouble. Your parents loved you. We didn't all have that life. I get it. Sometimes it was abusive. Sometimes we don't know our parents because of different circumstances. But He not only called us to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, but He called us to be great and mighty warriors for Him and against the enemy. And He called us to be great light and great flavor and great salt to those we come in contact with. Where do you go to church? Not prayer of faith. Where do you go to church? Man, I go to church. Prayer of faith. Technically, it's prayer of faith. World outreach. We shortened it to prayer of faith, though. Okay? Really, maybe I should come. Man, I'd love to have you come out here. We're a congregation of hundreds of people. Really? No. But come anyway. Be light and be salt. Look for those people. My goodness, have you ever seen someone just sitting alone? You think, whew, I'd like to sit with them, but I'm just too scared. That's not me. Go sit with them. When Jesus calls us, says, hey, thanks for being on my roll call. When I call your name, you're going to say, oh my goodness, here I am. That's great. Now, This is just like a job interview. I interview people like, hey, Joe Blow, where? Here I am. Great. You just start on Monday. Monday comes around, and what happens? Anybody seen Joe Blow? I hired him Friday. Got him in the system, told him we start Monday. Oh. Okay, what'd they forget to do? Clock in. Church, we have to clock in. Okay? Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And I was going through those examples to say, in the Old Testament, here's people that when God called, they said, here I am. Abraham, here I am. Need you to go sacrifice your child. Okay, here I am. And then as he's placing this child up there, an angel of the Lord said, Abraham. He said, here I am. And they said, no need to do that. You were obedient. You submitted to God to do that. Thank you for going to that point. Most of us couldn't get near that altar, let alone even scoop up our child. You'll be thinking of that soon. What can I do? Commit your child to God is what you can do. And that's what Abraham was doing. And God said, thank you for going that far. I don't need you to go any farther. Like I said, Moses. Moses, here I am. A few verses later, who am I? Why did you pick me? I'm not the one. So the Old Testament gave us examples of that. The New Testament, when Jesus talks about a Sermon on the Mount, that's where he's saying, hey, Christians, here's who we are. This is who I am, and this is who I'm calling you to be. And now Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Very familiar to most of us, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. And it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, again, church, action, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall. Anybody got a house? And the winds and rains have been beating on that recently. And I'm talking about your life. And he's shaking it. For some, maybe he's shaking the very foundation of your life. When the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, church, maybe we've answered the roll call. But we've heard these sayings and we did not do them. We'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, and the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus spoke with authority. He knew what they were going through or what they would be going through. Again, is your foundation being shaken? Is the rain falling down all around you and flooding you? Is the wind beating on the walls and roof of your house? And you're afraid any minute the roof may just go flying off. It's time to clock in. We have answered the roll call and said, here I am. Great, clock in. Now it's time to get to work. Our good man on the computer back there, Josh Rojo, began working a handful of weeks back. Yeah, that's great news. All of a sudden, what's gone? That free time, right? Josh's like, oh, okay. This is why you guys are so tired. Not that he was doing nothing before. He was going to school getting his degree. But Josh says, oh, my goodness, the hours. Maybe early, maybe late, maybe long, maybe many. Welcome to Discipleship 101. The hours are early, they're late, they're long. Went to the Choctaw football game Friday night. Jim was there, and Eric and Kisha, Laren and Dylan. It was a beating by Bixby. They stomped us. I think it was 70-7. They said it could have been 77-7, but you know what that team did when they were 3 yards from the goal line? Now, they'd run several 70-yard runs right past our team. But you know what they did each time? Instead of scoring that last one, really putting that last nail, they took a knee. I guess so as not to shame us any more than they already did. But my point was, the coaches for Choctaw, do you think they put in less time than the coaches from Bixby? They were long hours. And they're early, and they're late. Oh, by the way, they're usually outside, so it's hot, right? Maybe raining, maybe they're playing in the rain. What's your point, Adam? My point is, you don't always win. You don't win every time you face God. And what I mean by that is you don't get what you want. When we're with God, it's His will, we always win. We don't always see it that way. God, I asked for my prayer to be answered this way. And He said, nope. We say, I didn't win that one. He said, sure you did. It was my will. Of course you won. But see, we're wearing different glasses and our lens doesn't see it that way. Because we see it as, I've lost. I really needed this. God, I wanted this. God, I can't take any more devastation. I can't take any more loss. I can't take any more denial. I can't take any more rejection. The heck you can't. Why? Because you are overcomers. We are overcomers. He tells us that over and over and over in Scripture. We read it a couple weeks ago in Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. You who overcome will sit in my throne with me. You are overcomers. Not you might be. You are. He made you that way. He created you that way. He has to give us strength to persevere. And some of us need that strength right now. I was telling Eric, I love the song, Oh Come to the Altar, because it asks us a question. Have you come to the end of yourself yet? Have you? Have you tired of doing it by yourself, on your own, in your own way? Here I am, Lord. Great. Adam, let me show you how to clock in. Let me show you where to do it. Now, some people may go to work. Have you clocked in? I don't know where to clock in. I don't know how to get started. Church, that's where we can help them. Hey, let me help you get plugged in. Because if you're new to the Christian faith, this is very confusing. You know, I changed roles six and a half months ago at work. I was feeling pretty good about my old job. I knew what I was doing. Why? Because I'd spent 9 years doing it and honing my skills. I feel like a ding-dong today. because I don't know anything about this thing. I said, I can do this, but this stuff, I'm lost. And I don't see that I'll have time to make it up unless you want to tell me, forget everything else and just focus on learning that. But then what do? You lean on your gifts. Man, my gift is this area. I can do this. I can excel here. I'm going to need some help over in this area from other people. And I have other people say, yeah, we'll help you along. I don't win every day. Trust me. I don't win every day. I shared with Eric a couple tales recently. It was like, that was a rough day. There were a lot of phone calls and emails, and they're rough. But you persevere. And I know in my heart who I am and what I am. I know I'm not the best, church. I don't mean that. But I know I'm a good person. I know that my character, my integrity, and the time I invest in what I do is worthy of something. And I'll be rewarded for that and then try and get better in the other areas. And that's what we need to do. Get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Most important thing a person can do is submit their life to Christ. What's the second most important thing? Get to work in His kingdom. Growing and connecting people in His kingdom. You know, the Christian that builds their house on the rock, they not only responded to the call saying, here I am, but they checked in and clocked in and went to work giving maximum effort. Took a lot more work to build my house on that rock. But when the storms come, I'm still standing. We watched TV yesterday, imagine that, to catch a smuggler. And they're in some foreign country. Single mother with two daughters. Busted. I needed money. I was desperate. A husband with a small child, I was desperate. A father with two children, I was desperate. You knew the risk? Yeah. Certainly you knew you could have been caught? Yeah. What's my time? 6 to 9 years. What's my time? 1 to 6 years. We have to say, this is who I am. I'm not going to dabble in that. I may be desperate. But I'm going to call out to God. I'm going to give Him maximum effort. I've talked a lot recently about that. Connection plus challenge equals change. The connection here for Christians is get on that roll call. Connect to Jesus Christ. What's the challenge? Going to work in His kingdom. It's tough. It gets us out of our comfort zone. But clocking in and going to work in His kingdom, what's the change? Clock in and find out. The paycheck or the payoff, if you will, that's between you and God. How hard of an effort did you get while you were working in the kingdom? When you're up there in the streets of gold, what will that look like? When your work goes through the fire, what is left? There will be a change here on earth, but there will be a change up in heaven. And we oftentimes lose sight of, oh yeah, everything I'm doing down here is for up there. Let's make the biggest impact we can down here. Knowing that if we don't get a reward here, it's in heaven. Let's not be so concerned that someone gives you a big certificate that says, great job, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. I love that. But that shouldn't be what we're working for from the earthly people. To just say, oh, attaboy, you know, it's good to get the attaboys. It's great to give them. But if we're just doing it for the accolades of man, we're missing it. Meet the challenge by clocking in and going to work. Doing what? Doing more. Being more. Giving more. Growing more. Learning more. Loving more. Praying more. Witnessing more. Representing Jesus Christ more. He is our advocate. We are His representation here on earth. What are we doing with that? Better yet, how are we doing with that? get involved. That change that occurs, again, is between you and God. What's going to happen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture that lines out a life that we should live. We thank you for the scripture that gives us examples of those that have responded to the call. Lord, we thank you also for the option of where we build our house. But I pray, Lord, that we respond by building our house in the rock. It may be easier or closer in the sand, but the reward is building our house on the rock. Lord, I pray today that everybody that hears my voice responds to you saying, "Here I am." And then responds to that by going to work in the kingdom. Lord, bless us for our work. Bless us for our efforts and our growth. Lord, for anyone feeling unworthy today, insignificant, Lord, that you would lift them up. You would love them and care for them. Lord, I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Stand and worship with us.